Beginning this new series called Liar, Liar, going to take a look at some of the lies that we believe that really affect the way we think and the way we live. How many of you, show of hands, grew up believing that George Washington cut down a cherry tree? I grew up believing it. I have to admit it. I cannot tell a lie. You know, it's just, it gets in you. You kind of just believe it. 1492, Columbus sailed the ocean blue and discovered America. I remember that being on at least one test. How about Albert Einstein failing math? That's been in a few email streams. I don't know exactly the point that they're making. So you can fail math and be brilliant too. Is that what they're trying to say? Or it doesn't matter how good you do at math, because I don't really know the point they're making with that. But the truth is, Einstein didn't fail math. But it still circulates. People still believe it. And this one really needs some qualification. Dave Barrier and I have been going back and forth about Thomas Edison and the light bulb. And it's actually really turns out to be a good example of a lie with qualifications. In terms of, it really depends on how you define invent and how you define light bulb. If you're talking about the first commercially practically available incandescent lamp, then yes, Thomas Edison was first. But if you're talking the first time that a filament had electricity run through it inside of a tube, no, that was done 40 years earlier. But the problem was the filament was made of platinum, which didn't really make it that readily available to people. So depending on how you look at that, that's a lie or a half-truth. And as we'll see, there's a lot of those out there. Some of these are just, you know, interesting. They're entertaining, benign, no harm. But some are a big deal. And as I said, some really affect the way that we live. You've probably heard this myth. The grass is greener on the other side. You may have even gone after that other grass. And what do you find out when you get there? Well, I think you find out one of two things. One is either it's not really greener on the other side. It only looked greener because you were looking at it this way. Or you find out that there's a lot of manure keeping that grass green, and that's why you really wish you were back on the other side. I'm not my brother's keeper. Well, the truth is we ignore a lot of brothers and sisters out there who need us. In one respect or another, we are our brother's keeper. Oh, this one. What's right for you is not necessarily right for me. You have your truth, I have mine. This whole myth says that there's no such thing as absolute truth. And I think we all fall prey to this one or know someone who has, and we tend to believe that lie. It's pervasive in our culture that there is no such thing as absolute truth. Then another fun one that is just not true. Lightning actually can strike the same place twice. And what you do with that information is up to you. So these myths, as I've said, what we want to do is be careful about the myths that we believe that affect the way we make our choices, the way we think, the way we act and behave. Because as I said, myths, half-truths, they all come from the same root being the lies of the devil. So let's read, if you can see this on the screen, let's read this one out loud together, okay? The devil was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of the lies. But, Jesus says, I tell the truth. So Satan is a liar, Jesus says. It's his native language. He's very good at telling lies. In fact, he's a designer liar. What that means is he knows the lies that you want to believe. And I would say those are the best lies, if there's such a thing as a good lie. It's the most powerful ones. You remember this little lie, mirror, mirror on the wall? Who's the fairest of them all? Well, that mirror was basically just lying. But it was telling the evil queen what she wanted to know. Why? Of course you are. The devil will tell you lies that you want to hear. Adam and Eve in the garden, They really wanted the fruit in the garden to be harmless. They wanted God to be unreasonable in his boundaries. And so the devil told them a lie that made sense to them. A lot of the myths and a lot of the lies that are popular in our world are popular because we want to believe them. We want to believe that everything evolved out of nothing, because that means there is no God and therefore we are not accountable. That makes them very powerful and very destructive lies in our lives, because they begin to reel us in and soon we're bound by it. The devil has you right where he wants you. In many cases, so caught up in the lie that you begin to tell yourself more lies to maintain that lie. But right after Jesus opens our eyes to the truth that the devil is a liar, he says this in contrast: I tell the truth. So what we're going to do in this series is take a popular myth, we're going to break it down, we're going to see it for the lie that it is, or for what part of it is a lie, and then we're going to look at it through the lens of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what we're doing. We're going to compare that lie with the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You ready for the first one today? YOLO, which is popular in text. It's not really, I don't know it's a saying as much anymore, but it means you only live once. YOLO. And I know, I've kind of said it too. It's a natural saying. It's a reason that we do different kind of things. You may have heard of this one, right? Very popular idea these days of a bucket list, right? Those things that you want to do before you kick the bucket. What I'd like you to do, take a minute or less, turn to a person who's near with you, share with them something that you have on your bucket list. Go ahead, take a few seconds and talk to each other about something that's on your bucket list. These guys made this popular in that movie. Here's the thing about a bucket list. It's built on this notion that you only live once. Since you only live once, well, you better cram as much into this life before you kick the bucket, right? I mean, hey, I know it sounds bad, but that's the title, that's where it got the name. You know, when you see life as going beyond this world, though, suddenly a bucket list doesn't have the same meaning. At least not to me, it doesn't. The history of this word YOLO. Now, the idea, the concept of you only live once is an old one. The expression YOLO is relatively new, at saying it that way. It actually got kind of popularized in, of all things, a rap song back around 2012, became at one point the number one most popular slang according to some surveys. But even though now people may just say it once in a while in a hashtag or a text or something like that, it really does match up. This idea of you only live once, it matches up with every commercial we've ever seen. It doesn't matter whether it's a beer commercial or a commercial for a vacation or for a car or a beauty product. It doesn't matter. What it does is it fits with what we believe we experience in life. You live, you die, and then you're gone. And so that expression captures our imagination and it gives us justification and a reason to live a certain way. But watch out, it is dangerous. The idea of you only live once is dangerous because it can be taken to two extremes. One is this idea called hedonism. And that's where you go for all the pleasure you can get out of life. You're going to soak it up for everything it's worth. It doesn't matter the cost. It doesn't matter the wreckage that's left in the wake. You're just going to go for it because this is your one shot. The other is kind of, in a certain way, the flip side. And it says, you know, you've only got one life to live, so don't mess it up. Be very, very careful. Do everything exactly right. Don't do anything wrong. And it leads to a kind of asceticism that doesn't actually allow you to enjoy the life that God has given you. Either way, whichever extreme you go to, you end up in one of two places, either frustration or discouragement. Because what happens is, it's profoundly, this idea, if we buy into this lie, that everything is about this spot on the line of eternity that we're in right now, if we buy into that lie, well, someone's going to live longer. Someone's going to do more. Somebody's going to amass more wealth. No matter how many adventures you have, someone's going to have more. No matter how much fun, no matter how much delight, when you come to the end and you compare, you're going to come up short. So YOLO is a lie. Because it isn't. Life isn't just about this spot on the line. We learn that at Easter. After the Sabbath, at the dawn, the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake. We saw that demonstrated this morning very powerfully. For an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said." Now I want you to kind of get this incredible picture in your mind of the first Easter. Might be a little easier this morning since we just had it portrayed for us. But the women are coming to the tomb with spices. This is what they did. They loved Jesus, they worshiped him, and now he's gone. And the only thing that they can do is care for his body according to their custom. One of the Gospels says they wondered how exactly they were going to roll the stone away. But the ground shakes, and God's angel is right there. He simply flicks the stone aside, hops on the top of the stone, so to speak, and says, "Jesus isn't dead. You thought he was dead. He's alive." Now, when we talk about this idea of you only live once, it isn't a new idea. What we know today, what we believe about you only live once, they believed back in first century Israel as well. This was why the people reacted the way that they did. The guards were so afraid that they fell down and they shook in terror. They became like dead men. They were that afraid. Now, these are Roman guards. These guys are the real deal. They're not afraid of anything. I know they were terrified. The women were so afraid that they had to be told by the angel, "Do not be afraid." Everyone reacted the way that they did because there's a pattern you come to expect. You die and you stay dead. And when that didn't happen, they were terrified because their concept of life and how things work was ruined. And theirs wasn't the only reaction. The religious leaders have a reaction too. They responded with incredulity. They could not believe it. Neither can we, neither could they. But theirs, for them, it was more of a problem. Because Jesus had been riling things up and messing with things in their world. So in their mind, Jesus really needed to stay dead. This was not the plan. They didn't foresee this eventuality. So some of the guards went into the city and reported to the chief priests everything that had happened. And when the chief priests had met with the elders and devised a plan, they gave the soldiers a large sum of money, telling them, "You are to say his disciples came during the night and stole him away while we were asleep. If this report gets to the governor, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble." So the soldiers took the money and did as they were instructed. And this story has been widely circulated among the Jews to this very day. So what happened there, I'm going to take you back to my one of my favorite points in time, the presidential election. If you remember that two-year period of campaigning, was that not the longest campaign that you could remember? But what do we learn about campaigns? Candidates tell you what you want to hear. They tell you whatever it takes to make their side of the story look true. You can call this spin if you want. The idea is the religious leaders, to them, the news of the empty tomb needed to be said in a way that the people would believe a different story. So they said, you know what? His disciples came and stole his body. The only problem with this is, well, it wasn't true. And one of the things that we also saw during this campaign was this idea of the fact check. She started up a little bit before this particular campaign, but it's gotten more popular now at the speed of the internet and the way things kind of go in our world. You can literally see the facts of the candidates being checked as they're speaking. So they didn't have these fact checkers in Bible times. And so what the religious leaders said came to believe to be true, even without the evidence to support it. And even today, you may still hear people say, isn't it possible that the disciples just took his body? That has been disproven by the facts numerous times, but the lie is still perpetuated. That's one of the reasons why I love the book Case for Christ, and we've given away many boxes of it. The Case for Christ is basically the fact check on the claims of the resurrection, and that's why I'm taking a group to see the movie on Tuesday at 6:55. But here's the thing. A person gets to decide which story they want to believe. I want to believe the true one. I know you do too. And the true story about Christ is that his tomb was empty. And his body wasn't stolen. He was raised from the dead. And friend, that fact makes all the difference. Because it goes against everything we think we know about life and death. You and I, unfortunately, have dealt a lot with death. I know in our church, we don't usually go too long without, don't get too nervous about the name on that tombstone over there, Don. That was just for the sake of demonstration. But we do. Maybe it's good for all of us to imagine our names on a tombstone. But do you notice what a tombstone does? It captures a birth date, a death date, the day you were born, the day you died, and in between is a dash. And that dash is what YOLO represents. Squeeze as much into the dash as you can. All of your living, all of your laughing, all of your joy, all of your sorrow, all of your challenges, all of your hopes and dreams crammed into the dash. But what if it's not? What if YOLO is a myth? What if there's another gravestone for each of us? The one like Jesus' gravestone. This is actually at the Garden Tomb plaque in Jerusalem. No birth date, no death date, no dash. Just Jesus Christ declared with power to be the Son of God by the resurrection of the dead. Easter offers you and me the chance to change our gravestone. To not live with the mentality that says we're going to start, we're going to dash, and then we're going to die. Easter teaches us that because Christ is risen, we will be risen too, raised too. That's the promise that Jesus makes to Mary and Martha after Lazarus had died. This is our memory verse for this week. I'm going to skip just in the interest of time. I'm not going to show that video. It's just a story about a baby that was born dead, the doctors believed, but after a couple of hours began to breathe and came to life. But see, you and I are made alive. Just as miraculous as that child in the hospital that the doctors did not believe could live. Really, any of our lives is a miracle. But more miraculous is the spiritual life that we have that Jesus teaches us, because he is the resurrection and the life. We who believe in him are made alive. And so for us, I would say Yama, if you want a hashtag, is the truth that replaces the myth of YOLO. You are made alive, Jesus says. Let's pray. Lord, thank you that I'm made alive in Christ. Make this your prayer. Thank you that I'm not going to live just once on this earth and die, but that I will live forever. This is my hope, Lord. This is the promise of Easter, that through Jesus Christ I'm made alive. Allow in our hearts and our minds to remain the truth, the knowledge that because you were made alive, we will be made alive. That because of you, even though we die, we will live. We entrust our lives, therefore, to you, Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.